Good morning, Central. It's good to be with you today. We are continuing a teaching series called The Invitation. It's a study in the Gospel of Mark. Every Jewish rabbi had what was called a yoke, and the yoke was the rabbi's interpretation of the Jewish law. So for students to take on the yoke of a rabbi meant that they would walk with the rabbi and become like him. So to take on Christ's yoke meant that you walk with Christ and you become like him. Today we're exploring the invitation to be with Jesus. Let's pray. God, we need you and we love you. Open our hearts, minds, and spirit to your wisdom and your word. Amen. So how many of you, if I asked you how you were feeling today, would say, well, tired? How many of you are feeling like you're being pulled to and from responsibilities, work expectations, family life, and feel like you're barely keeping your head above water? Maybe you're a sleepless new parent, or you've recently retired and you've come to this season of your life and you're wondering, is this all there is? Maybe you're new to this Christianity thing and you've been looking for something to sustain your life and to give you meaning and hope. Maybe you're feeling stressed out, burnt out, overworked, overtired, and you can barely be a good witness to your family, let alone share the love of Jesus with a stranger. Maybe you're wondering if there's more to following Jesus than church attendance or sin management. Many of us might be living some of these realities, but I think underneath the surface, we may be holding a couple of powerful or important questions. What does life with Jesus actually look like in my real and ordinary and messy life? And then, how am I going to be sustained and persevere in this life? The good news for those that take upon the yoke of Christ and who walk with him moment by moment is that you can experience abundant life. And I think it's this type of moment-by-moment connection with Jesus that will sustain us over the long haul, will transform us, and allow us to truly live as sent people. Here's what I want to talk about today. Our withness affects our witness. Yes, withness is a made-up word, made it up myself, but I'm going to use it today to talk about the what, the where, the who, and how we connect with Jesus and the world around us. So would you turn with me to Mark chapter 3? In our passage today, Jesus gathers the disciples and then sends them out. We're in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19. Let's read. He went up to the mountain and called to him those whom he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed the 12 to be with him and to be sent out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. So he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who handed him over. So what does this passage have to say about withness? I mean, it seems like a weird description of Jesus giving his friends nicknames. I don't know about you, but I don't know something I'd rather be called than Boanerges. In this moment, Jesus deepened the invitation to those who he called. In some translations, the term apostle is used for the first time, which means the ones who are sent. So this set apart few would actually stand in stark contrast to the crowds that were chasing Jesus down a couple of passages before. We read in Mark 3:7, Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers. The verb used here for follow is not the type of following that would describe disciples following a rabbi, but rather it's like a hunting down. The crowds were hunting Jesus down like you hunt down deals on Black Friday. The crowds wanted to touch him, to be healed by him, and then to go on their merry way. The crowds wanted something from Jesus, but they didn't necessarily want to be with him. And then we see Jesus go to the mountainside, and he calls to him those who he wanted and says, I want to be with you, and I want you to be with me. You'll be my friends and co-workers. He called the apostles to be with him or to accompany him, which is another translation. And then the set-apart ragtag group of guys would form a new Jesus-following community. And their first priority was to be with Jesus, not just to get things from him. And our invitation is the same. To establish a witness with Jesus that is radically different than how the crowds have viewed him or even how we have viewed him before. Because the truth is, you can say, yeah, I go to church and Bible study, but are you actually with Jesus? What does that even look like? The language of being with Jesus is used all throughout Scripture. One of the words we use to talk about living life with God is the word abide. Withness means to abide. John 15 says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. And then verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. The Greek word for abide is the word meno, which means to stay or to remain or to dwell or to make your home in. It's the same language many of our psalms use to talk about God being their home. For example, Psalm 73 says, I'm in the very presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is! I've made the Lord God my home. This is possible and for us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the book of John, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The phrase another advocate could mean something like another one like Jesus. So the Father is going to give us another one like Jesus to be with us. This is the Holy Spirit. And the Father, Son, and Spirit are all one God, eternally existing in three persons, who we call the Trinity. I've heard the Trinity described as a community of self-giving love. And it's this community that we enter into and are with when we follow Jesus. The fundamental character of the triune God is one of withness. Always. Author and pastor John Mark Comer put it this way. To be with the Spirit is to be with Jesus, and to be with Jesus is to be with the Father. It's to enter into the flow of love within the inner life of God himself. Jesus, in turn, is just asking us to be with him. Our passage says, he went up to the mountain and called to him those whom he wanted, and they came to him. Jesus called them to him, and they came. We too are invited to be with Jesus and to make our home in him. Jesus wants you to be with him. He doesn't just tolerate you or feel obligated to save you. He wants to be with you. And we have access to friendship with God every single moment via the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, if Jesus is with us, then how do we practice witness with him practically? My first suggestion is to take an attention inventory. So, over the next 24 hours of your day, I want you to notice, where does your attention trail off to or go in the small mental breaks that you have throughout your day? Often where our attention goes tells us what we are with physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And what I mean by that is what we are abiding in or dwelling in or connecting to. For many of us, the problem isn't that we're like not abiding. I think we're all abiding or with something. But a lot of the time, it's to our wants or needs or fears or wounds or trying to numb ourselves from something. For example, maybe you find yourself grabbing your phone and mindlessly scrolling social media anytime you have a mental break in your day. Or maybe you are with social status or reputation, always trying to craft an image or craft the perfect outfit or keep people from seeing your brokenness. Maybe you're with comfort or success or the news or comparison or not enoughness. When we spend time with these things, the fruit of our witness is evident. John 15 says that it's the vine that causes the branch to bear fruit, and anything else we're abiding in causes us to wither away. So what are we abiding in that isn't the vine? It's not that these things are inherently bad, but they tell us what we are with on a daily basis. Tish Harrison Warren is a priest and author of the book Liturgies of the Ordinary, and she noticed that technology was filling every empty moment in her day. She said, shortly after waking, I'd grab my smartphone. Like digital caffeine, it would prod my froggy brain into coherence and activity. Before getting out of bed, I'd check my email, scroll through the news, glance at Facebook. I'd ignore my kids' persistent calls for milk and snacks with a distracted hold on as I vaguely skimmed an article. Through the day, I fed on a near constant stream of entertainment, stimulation, likes, and retweets. Without realizing it, I had slowly built a habit, a steady resistance to and dread of boredom. Being with technology for Tish maybe meant that people experienced her to be angry or anxious, distracted or aloof. Maybe it's not technology for you. Maybe you're with fear or worry, constantly checking the news, always concerned about the state of culture or young people, or always concerned about the way things used to be. That may mean people experience you to be maybe harsh or cynical or judgmental, or unopen to change. Tish notes the effect that these practices have on her life. She says, "My daily practices were malforming me, making me less alive, less human, less able to give and receive love throughout my day. How are the things we give our attention to malforming us?" I want to consider, just for a moment, Judas Iscariot. I'm curious if he was maybe abiding in something other than Jesus. The text names all the apostles and saves Judas for the end. It says, "Judas Iscariot, who handed him Jesus over." He doesn't save the detail for later, but Mark comes right out and says it. Maybe his nickname was Judas the Jerk. We get hints later as to why maybe Judas handed Jesus over. In Mark 14, it says, "Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him." Was Judas with something other than Jesus? Was it money? Was it power? Whatever it was clearly affected his actions and behavior. So take an inventory. As you notice where your attention trails off to, ask yourself, what am I with? Where is my emotional home? Where do I go to find comfort and joy? Is it Jesus or is it something else? The second way to practice withness is to turn your attention to Jesus. Turn your attention to Jesus. All the apostles had something that they were attending to that shifted when Jesus called them. For example, we know that Peter and Andrew were fishermen, and they left their nets to follow Jesus. Their attention was on Jesus now. And then they spent 3 years watching and learning and paying attention to Jesus. But they were also with him while they preached and healed, but I imagine also while they ate and walked and waited. We can be with Jesus too when we send emails or wait in the school pickup line or drive the combine. Setting aside time with God is important, but I believe that being with Jesus can simply look like shifting our attention to him moment by moment. And this only requires seconds and no expertise necessary. Psalm 16:8 says, "I keep the Lord always before me." It's this sort of attention to God that we are aiming at, keeping the Lord always before us, even as we do mundane tasks. This could look like pausing for a minute, right when you wake up or before you go to sleep, and just stopping and noticing Jesus' nearness. Maybe you could say, "Jesus, you are with me," or, "Holy Spirit, show me where you are today," or, "God, I devote this task to you." You could simply pause and be silent and see if God is telling you something. I think this also looks like pausing for a moment and directing your love and attention heavenward and knowing that God's presence is always available to you. I think this also looks like an attention at two layers of our lives, right? We focus in on what or who is in front of us, but we live with an underlying attention to God's presence, commandments, and loving character as we go about our day. This won't be perfect. I realize that we get distracted or need to focus in on something, but I've heard it said that distractions are just 10,000 reasons to return to God. And all the toddler parents said, amen. So we get to direct and redirect our attentions constantly to Jesus. Can you imagine that over time then, we might actually live and love like him too? This is why reading scripture is so important, among other things. It reveals to us who Jesus is. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. When we look at and soak in Jesus, his character, and his path to abundant life, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind words and concepts and images that will allow us to actually walk with Jesus. So what could it look like for you to simply turn your attention in these three ways to start? Your thoughts right before you go to sleep, and the small mental breaks that make up your day. And finally, we can practice withness when we pay prayerful attention to your life. Pay prayerful attention to your life. Jesus called the 12 to be with him, to take upon his yoke and learn from him. I would imagine that taking on the yoke of Jesus meant that the disciples began to see every corner of their life through the lens of Christ's presence and mission in the world. And I believe that through prayer, we begin to pay attention to God and the ways that God is already working in all areas of our life. That's what prayer is, not just something we do, but a way of being, a quality and attention we hold. Prayer is communication and God-directed attention. Sky Jatani defines prayer as an awareness of God's presence with us, even when no communication is happening. It's what it means to pray without ceasing. This type of prayer is how we make our home in Jesus and cultivate a friendship with him. It's how we move from using Jesus as a means to an end goal, like the crowds who were hunting him down, to living life with the living God, who is our end goal. As we prayerfully attend to Jesus more and more, we might see that God is already up to something good, using every corner of our life to shape us, teach us, and mold us, and restore the world through us. Prayerful attention looks like pausing, taking time to truly see people, changing diapers in God's presence, sacrificing a moment of mental stimulation from a screen to notice Christ loving you as you confess a sin. When Jesus calls us to be with him, he may ask us to follow him to places we'd rather not go, even to the point of death. Many of his disciples swiped left when they realized this. Prayerful attention to our lives means we begin to actually notice and die to the things that get in the way of life with Jesus. And then we can become open to what God wants us to learn and open to the things that cultivate connection with him, like self-awareness, connection with others, or honesty in prayer. Because to be honest, a lot of us would rather binge Netflix or go online shopping or play fantasy football than spend a quiet moment alone with God. I feel this deeply. It takes energy to be present. And I prefer the distraction of being entertained. I would rather hit open to a work email when I wake up than hit play on a devotional because I don't really want to be confronted with my sin today. I would rather pray about some distant relative's drinking problem than prayerfully submit to the Spirit's nudging for me to apologize to a coworker for a hurtful comment that I made. Do you resonate with any of this? One of the things I try to ask every single person I meet with to help them prayerfully attend, pay attention to their life is the question, what is the Spirit of God inviting you into? Just as the apostles were invited to learn from Jesus, prayerful attention means we become open to what God wants us to learn. So as you find your mind fixating on wanting to be married or wanting a spouse in every empty space in your day, what might the Spirit of God be inviting you into as you wrestle? As you turn to open that news app to read the latest upsetting headline that only makes you more cynical, what might the Spirit of God be inviting you into instead? Could you hold that question, being prayerful as you go about even boring tasks, and say, Holy Spirit, what are you inviting me into now? So, how does any of this affect our witness? Jesus gathered and then sent out the apostles to be his witnesses, to share in the work of ministry, and to testify to all he had done. He selected 12 ordinary men, one who betrayed him, one who denied him, one who doubted him, and two that maybe needed some anger management therapy. In choosing the 12, this number 12 was important. The 12 corresponded to the 12 sons of Jacob, who were seen as the fathers of the 12 tribes of ancient Israel, the people of God. So in appointing 12, Jesus established a new community that was marked by the lordship of Christ in every area of life. And then later on in Acts 4, Peter and John were actually arrested for teaching about Jesus' resurrection, and many were coming to believe. When the Jewish leaders asked them, like, what authority do you teach on? Peter responded with something that sounded much like the words of Jesus himself. And then Acts 4:13 records, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus affects our witness. Peter and John, part of the 12, were sent to represent the presence of Jesus himself. They were sent out to share about what life in the kingdom with King Jesus was like. They were sent out to preach and live the gospel in ordinary ways, to share about the vine that produces fruit, the one who's not just the giver of the good thing, but who is the good thing, who is the source of life himself. And it was this gospel that Jesus gave them the authority to teach, not a different gospel. And their witness allowed them to live in such a way that they were shaped by the love of Jesus and others were drawn to him because of it. Same with us. We are invited to be with Jesus and to be his witnesses too, because our witness affects the gospel that we preach. Witness is not just what we preach with words, but how we live ordinary lives as representatives of God's kingdom. We preach the gospel as people experience us when we wash dishes or sit in traffic or go to physical therapy. Many of us want the mountaintop experiences. We want the authority to cast out demons and preach in front of crowds. But practicing witness means that by the power of the Holy Spirit, over time we actually become like Jesus. And others witness that and are drawn to it and want to experience it for themselves. I have a mentor whose name is Susan. She has lived a beautiful and hard and prayerfully attentive life. She's experienced deep loss with the loss of her husband, who was a community faith leader. There's something about her that draws me in. She offers a peace and a presence that invites you into something, invites you into living hope. Whenever we're together, if we're having a meal, she'll just pause for a minute with her eyes open, without her hands folded, and she'll just say, "Lord, we're just grateful that you are here. We know you're in this conversation and this moment." It's like I'm joining into an already ongoing conversation that she's having with God. I want to be like her someday. It's clear that her witness has affected her. Her witness has affected her witness, and that being with Jesus for Susan has truly sustained her in her life. Don't we all want that kind of witness? When we live prayerfully and we are with Jesus, we become open to the ways that God is working in the lives of people that we're around, in the work that we do, and in the small moments that make up our lives. If somebody is in my office and they're wondering if following Jesus is making a difference at all in their life, I tell them to do the smell test. I say, "Well, do you smell like Jesus?" It's a little weird, but if somebody metaphorically sniffed you, would they smell Jesus or the fruit of the Spirit? Meaning, if we are truly with Jesus, then over time, we'll begin to smell like him, or rather take on his qualities and character too. So are you becoming like Jesus as you journey with him? Author Rich Villotis said that the best witness we have is our transformed lives. Jesus transformed the lives of the apostles, and he shaped their attentions, their hopes, and their presence with others. What if what we invited people into with our lives was a radically different hope and posture and purpose and presence that was a direct result of our life with God? What if we discovered that the only way to persevere in this life is to notice that every single moment, Jesus lovingly offers himself to you? What if there's more to this life, more to sharing the love of Jesus than the extraordinary mountaintop moments, but every little moment in between? How is your witness? Are you like the crowds hunting Jesus down, just wanting something from him? Or do you actually want to be with him? What are you with? Before you leave today, if you would like to practice being with Jesus right here, right now, we will have some frontline volunteers that'll be ready to help you meet him. They're also available to pray with you for anything that you might need. So make sure to stop in front before you leave today. Life with Jesus is the only way to persevere in this life. So go and be with Jesus. Turn your attention to him and pay prayerful attention to your life. Go in peace.